Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
To turn your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13, we're going to be reading there in a few moments, but before we do, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this morning, just the celebration and all that's taking place. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for the work you've been doing and continue to do in our church. But I pray this morning for our hearts to be ready, our hearts to be good soil to receive your word, Lord, and all that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. What I'm preaching to you about this morning is dream again. I thought it was kind of fitting. And we are grateful the time that we've had here. And I'm looking so forward to tonight and all those that have put work in to make tonight possible. And we do want to invite you and have you join with us. It's going to be a great time. And hey, food, right? That's the star of the evening, man, to have a catered meal. And so grateful for our leaders and putting that together. But our 5 years here is such a small picture of what God has done in this church. In 2 years, this church will celebrate 85 years as being a church. And I think that is unbelievable. That is just awesome. 85 years. And so our 5 years, and we're grateful for the ones that have gone before us. If it wasn't for the ones that got before us, we wouldn't have this facility. We wouldn't have this grounds. The original location is now the South parking lot of First Baptist. And so, and we relocated a Pentecostal ground. No, I'm joking. But we're grateful for all those in our city that are endeavoring to reach lost people. And we're grateful for the part that God has given us to play. And so as I was thinking about that, I want you to follow along with me. I'm just going to share just a short story as we get into this morning. And I think if you'll follow along with me, is that it'll minister to you. It will speak something to your heart. And it's just a short part of the journey of how we came here to Odessa First Assembly. And just remember, as I share this morning, what I'm talking about is dream again. You may have gone through some hard times, some difficult times, but I want you to know, I think what God is stirring in us and in our church is to dream again, to dream bigger dreams, and to dream those things that God would have us to accomplish. And as I was thinking about it, you know, the journey kind of started, it was in April of 2011. And what happened in April of 2011, me and Angela, we talk about it often, but we were missionaries. And, well, we still kind of think we're missionaries, but we were appointed missionaries, and we were actually in Odessa preaching. If you didn't know, this is kind of the area I'm from. I graduated high school from Midland, and I kind of was in the area. But at one time, I youth pastored at Open Door right there on Grandview University. And that's where I was, actually, when me and Angela got married. And so when we left here and we moved to Amarillo, I just always just had a dream, just kind of locked up in my heart that one day we would be back to Odessa. And I know some of you are thinking, are you nuts? Well, that's kind of what God's dream does with you. You know, it makes you dream things that are kind of the unexpected, I guess. But we came back, it was 2011, and we were preaching at Open Door. And I every once in a while I talk about with Angela about planting a church in Odessa, and she was like, I mean, it wasn't even like this, it was like, no. I was like, okay. And so April 2011, we're preaching at Open Door, and we're leaving the city, we're driving out Andrews Highway, headed back to Lubbock, and Angela's got tears streaming down her face. And my first thought was, oh great, what'd I do? And so I'm like, you know, hesitantly, hey, babe, what's wrong? You know, expecting the nothing. That's a whole nother sermon. Better Together starts next Sunday night. And I was like, what's wrong? And Angela's like, God just really stirred my heart. I think he's opened a door for us to come back. was like, okay. And so we just prayed about it. I mean, you know, we didn't try to get ahead of God or anything like that. And fast forward a couple of years in the spring of 2013, and Open Door came open. And I was like, that's it. That's where God has for us. And it was like, it was about February, and I called the presbyter of the area, and I said, Pastor Hanks, I think God wants us to go to Open Door, and I know it's struggling, but that's exactly the kind of thing we're looking for. And this was already a big work in my heart, because I had pastored before, and I said I would never do it again. And so for God even to shift my heart for that to happen. And then it was, okay, I can see myself pastoring again, but I'm going to plant a church. I don't want to deal with an established church or an existing church. I want to begin something new. And then God began to shift that in my heart. And so I said, you know, I think that's the place for us. And so I prayed. And this is the part I really want you to get a hold of. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for about 6 weeks. And I mean, I heard nothing. And this is a very simple, elementary thing to get a hold of this morning. And that is, if you don't hear God, don't move. If God's not stirring it in your heart and confirming it in your heart, then don't do it. Don't get ahead of God. And so we waited. And finally, Pastor Hanks, and rightfully so, maybe a little frustrated with me. And I said, I must have spoke too soon, Pastor Mike, because I'm not hearing God. And so what I did was we had moved to Afton. And anybody ever heard of Afton except besides me? Cheyenne has, but because she was an internship near there. So my father-in-law, amazing set of circumstances, was donated a 70,000 square foot building. And so the summer of 2013, we moved to 2012, we had moved to Afton in that area in Roaring Springs, and we're help planning a church, a cowboy church of all things. Can you picture me there? And so it was a great year that we spent there, but it was there that all this was happening. And one day I just locked myself in the sanctuary. I just locked myself in, and I was like, okay, God. I was like, you've got to speak to me. I mean, I've been praying about Open Door. I'm hearing nothing. And I come out from that prayer time, and I was one of those things where I was trying to twist God's arm. I was like, okay, God, I'm not leaving till I hear from you. And, you know, because I always heard testimonies about that kind of stuff, that God answers those kind of prayers. And he didn't mind. And so I finally gave up. And I went out to my truck, and I closed up the church, got in my truck, and my phone rang. And I look at my caller ID, and it was Dalton Froman, who is my predecessor here, who's a previous pastor. He said, hey, I just wanted you to know something. He said, I resigned Odessa First Assembly. And it took me off guard. It shocked me. And I know that those that were here, it shocked them too. And he said, well, and the next thing even shocked me more. He's like, I just wanted you to know that I'm telling the board that I think you're the right guy for the job. And I was like, Dalton, I don't think it works quite like that. You know, I'm involved, God's involved, the church is involved. And so really to make a long story short, I even hesitated. I was like, I'm not going to turn in a resume until I can't stand not turn one in. And so I finally did that. So this is happening in April, and I finally turned a resume in the last Sunday in May. And I was thinking, surely they have a guy on the radar by now. And I don't know if they did or not, but as it worked out, that guy was me. And so I'll never forget that Sunday night that we were confirmed as pastors here. And I think my most vivid memory is Chase running up this aisle right here. And we told him, hey, you know, we're going to address the congregation. We're the new pastors. Him like, yes! Anybody remember that? I remember that. But that dream started in 1998 to have a ministry point here in Odessa to reach the city. And it came to fruition in September of 2013. And I want you to know this morning that whatever dream it is that God has birthed inside of you, whatever it is the Spirit of God is working on the inside of you, do not let it go. God has placed that there for a divine purpose and for a divine reason. And maybe you've been through so much junk, you're like, I don't know if I can dream. And what I want to announce to you this morning is, yes, let the hope build up again and dream again. Dream the dream that God's got for you. Dream something that's bigger than you could ever obtain yourself. And dream the dream again. We read the scripture in Proverbs chapter 13. It's a verse maybe that you've heard of before, even know about, but it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. And I know I've been through those times of unrelenting disappointment. One translation even talks about that verse. But sometimes we go through that, don't we? Where it's like disappointment followed by disappointment, followed by disappointment, followed by disappointment. And I want you to know this morning that God is bigger than the disappointment. That God has birthed inside each and every one of us a dream. And when that dream is fulfilled, then we see the rivers of living water flow from our life and from our heart, as it says in John chapter 7. But hope is this, listen to me. Hope is a combination of anticipation and a forward view. I mean, it's just not looking forward at what's ahead, but it's being almost a good, anxious about what lies ahead. You see, the enemy wants you defeated, right? The enemy wants you discouraged. The enemy wants you beat down. He doesn't want your dreams realized for your life. But if you can work through that and realize that hope is a combination of looking at what's ahead, looking what's beyond the storm, looking what's beyond the circumstance, looking beyond the trouble. Is anybody following me this morning? Looking beyond this point in time of your life where it seems like everything's closing in on you, to look beyond that with an excitement of what God is going to do because what you're in the middle of now. Hope is a combination of anticipation and a forward view. I love this verse. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. I mean, how many times have I used this? How many times have I said this? We rarely live through life, you know, when we see a problem or a difficulty or a trial, we're like, yes, I rejoice. You know, that's usually not our first reaction. We know, but listen what the scripture says. We know they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope, listen, and this hope will not lead us to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I hope that you have something to look forward to. I hope that maybe there's a dream down inside of you that God has birthed at some point and some time. And if he hasn't, maybe today, I pray that today would be your day, because there is a battle going on for hope. I think, you know, I want to be very careful. I want to tread very lightly, but you know, I think you can watch the news too much. I really do. I mean, how many encouraging stories that don't involve politics do we see in our news? I mean, not a whole lot. I mean, you look in so many areas and places, and it's attack on our hope. I was even thinking just the other day about movies, about how movies have shifted. You know, there was a time where, like, the good guys always won. You know what I mean? And there are so many movies now that the hero doesn't always win. And the villain has so much strength and power. I don't think that is by accident. But Satan wants to steal your hope, because he knows if he can steal your hope, he can destroy your dream. But our God is a God that restores. Our God is a God that renews. And I want to tell you this morning, the scripture tells us, Proverbs 4:23, for us to guard our heart above all else. Why? Because it determines the course of our life. And if we leave our hearts unguarded and the enemy attacks us, he can change the course of our life. But if we'll guard it, we'll protect it with his word and the Spirit of God, we'll have a good course set out for us. You know, I was thinking, I love, you guys, I've said it 100 times or 1,000 times, you know, that I love history, but I also love just people's stories. One of those men is, I mean, these aren't necessarily just biblical, but I think they're inspiring stories. Has anybody ever felt like the underdog? Who's ever felt like the underdog? Raise your hand if you ever felt like the underdog. There's a lot of people that feel like the underdog. In 1919, we're going to have his picture up there. In 1919, anybody who know that is? Walt Disney. Listen to this. He was fired from his first animation job. It was for a newspaper in Kansas City. And the reason he was fired was because, quote, he lacked good and creative ideas. I'd hate to be that guy. You know, if I was, well, I'm just might be the one wired that if I was Walt Disney, I'd like send that guy a letter. Look at me now. But that wasn't his last failure. Disney then acquired a business called Laugh-O-Gram, an animation studio, and he drove that into bankruptcy. Then he set his eyes on Hollywood and him with his brother. 22 Academy Awards. Isn't that amazing? Or how about this one? The greatest of all time, Michael Jordan. Yes, it's public, it's official, from the microphone. Not that James guy, but Michael Jordan. In 1978, Michael Jordan was just another kid in the gym, along with 50 of his classmates. And he was trying out for Emslie-Laney High School varsity basketball team. There were only 15 spots on the roster, and then 15-year-old Michael Jordan was cut from that basketball team. Yeah, good job, coach, right? Listen to what Michael Jordan said. It was embarrassing not making the team. He later said that he went home, he locked himself into a room, and he cried. Why? Because his dream was dashed. But you know what he did? He picked himself up. He went to the gym every single day. And he said this, whenever I was working out and I got tired, I figured I ought to stop. I'd close my eyes and I would see my name in that locker room. And then it was just the next year, his junior year, that he became a starter on the varsity basketball team. I just want to share one more because this is going to kind of relate maybe a little more since I guess we're in church, but it's Colonel Sanders. Anybody heard about KFC? Don't we thank God for KFC? Fried chicken. I tell you, you know, I'll talk all the time that the marriage of their lamb is going to be enchiladas and asado. They're just maybe a side of fried chicken because then it's not going to have carbs and grease, right? I want everybody to say amen. In the early 20s, he was a top salesman, but he was fired. He was fired because of his temper. Matter of fact, he was fired from dozens of jobs because of his temper. And then he opened his first restaurant when he was at the age of 65. And that one failed. And he was working as a side job on the railroad, and he was fired for getting a fight with a guy and insubordination. Then he was a lawyer in his own county, and the county fired him because he got in a fight with somebody he was representing. But at 65, after losing his restaurant, Sanders traveled the U.S. looking for someone to sell his fried chicken to. At 74 years old is when Colonel Sanders had more than 600 franchised outlets. And he sold his entrance for $2 million. Which then, I mean, it's a lot of money now, but it was a lot of money then. But here's what I want you to listen to. It was after all of that that Colonel Sanders started going to church. A friend of his invited him to church. And so he started going to church. Here is this businessman starting attending church. And the pastor's name was Wayman Rogers. And there was a service where Colonel Sanders came down and knelt down by the altar. And the pastor asked him, would you like to be born again? And Colonel Sanders said, I really would. Do you think that Jesus could save me to the point where he takes away my cussing? He was known for having a foul mouth. And the pastor said, Colonel, God is going to save you tonight and you'll never cuss again. And that moment, Colonel Sanders got saved, accepted Jesus into his heart. A few days later, listen to what Colonel Sanders said. Since I prayed the sinner's prayer, things have completely changed in my life. He told the pastor, I have not cussed even one time since. It's really made a difference with me. And I think about these men and so many that have really come through life's most difficult moments and times of bankruptcy, of failed marriages, of addiction. And I'm going to tell you something. See, the enemy, what he wants you to think and believe is that you belong in the ashes. But see, there's a promise in Scripture that tells us that God will give us a beauty for ashes in Isaiah 61. And you may be in the ashes right now, and you may be going through a difficult time right now, but if you'll just give it over to the Lord, he'll bring you up out of that, and he'll redeem you, and he'll restore you. Because that's what our God does. I love this scripture in Hosea. I've actually preached on it before here, but I wanted to share it this morning because I thought it was so fitting. But Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, I want you to follow along with me. But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her in the desert and speak tenderly to her there. It's talking about the children of Israel, but listen to me. I'll return her vineyards and her transform, listen, the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. The valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. What is Scripture saying there? Well, we kind of got to have to back up into Joshua. And there is something that happened with Joshua. Is that he had taken over from Moses. Remember, Moses is the one that brought him out of Egypt and, you know, crossed the Red Sea on dry ground and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, Moses and the children of Israel kind of messed up and they had some fear and didn't believe God's promises. And so God made them wander the wilderness for 40 years. This is a very fast forward synopsis of what's going on. But Moses dies and Joshua takes over. Well, the first thing Joshua has to do is defeat a city by the name of Jericho. Well, what I almost did this morning was like, if you have never done it, if anybody remember the Jericho song by Carmen? Anybody remember Carmen? Anybody? We're on vacation. We do this thing where everybody gets to pick a song. And so I went through this thing where it was all Carmen songs, just to expose my kids to it and watch them grimace, but Carmen's awesome. But there was a song about the Jericho and about the walls being so thick that church raced on top. And it's such a great song. But God promised that they'd walk around the city once a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they'd march around that city and they would shout and blow a trumpet and the walls of the city would fall flat. And so they did. And the Bible says every man went before him and they destroyed the city. But God gave a command. And then that command, he said, the children of Israel were to take nothing from Jericho. But there was a guy by the name of Achan, and he stole some stuff from Jericho, and he hid it underneath his tent. And so then Joshua gets to the next battle. And it's to a place called Ai. And so here, I mean, you know, they just came off. I mean, this is a huge victory, right? I mean, this is pretty massive that of what happened at Jericho. I mean, could you imagine these giant walls is falling and crumbling flat, and they defeat the city. And so, you know, they're kind of pumped up. I mean, wouldn't you be excited? Okay, a couple of you would. Okay, good. I mean, put in there, plug in whatever makes you excited of being the underdog and winning. And they win that victory, and they go to the next battle that shouldn't have been near as hard, near as difficult. You know what happens? Ai defeats them. And so Joshua is crying out to God. He's like, God, you gave us these promises. Listen. God, you gave us this promise, this word, that this land was supposed to be ours. Has you ever found yourself in that place? And so God spoke to Joshua what happened. At Achan, they took some stuff. And so they called all the people in. And all of the children of Israel were there. And they bring forth Achan and his family. And they found out they had stolen. And judgment came upon Achan's family. It was terrible. It was very terrible. I'm glad I live in the New Testament. Amen. But that valley where that judgment came to the children of Israel, do you know what the name of that valley was? The Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. And so here, after the fact, in Hosea, we see a promise that in the Valley of Trouble, there's going to be a what? There's going to be a gateway of hope. In the middle of that valley is going to be a gateway of hope. Listen to me. Hope is focused on something or someone. Let me jump up one so you have all your blanks. I know that annoys me, but there's another blank right before that. Trouble can become the doorway to hope. Trouble can become the doorway to hope. Thomas Edison, he said something once. Great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. But hope is focused on something or someone. And the Bible told us in Romans chapter 5:5 that when our hope is on Christ, it will not be disappointed. You see, when you get in that valley of trouble, when you get to that place and it seems like the bottoms fall out, it seems like the circumstances are closing in on you, the enemy wants you to makes you feel that there's no hope, there's no future, that it's all done with, that you've been defeated. But in the middle of that defeat, in the middle of that struggle, the Holy Spirit wants you to know this morning is that's a doorway to hope. And whatever your greatest hurt is can become your greatest ministry. And whatever has happened in your life, God can make all things work together for good. Aren't you grateful for our God? What we focus on will determine where our hope is. I was reminded of a hymn that we used to sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." All other ground is sinking sand. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, when people do not accept divine guidance, they will run wild. There's many translations talk about this in different ways, but people without vision, they cast off restraint. If you want to make it through that moment and you want to get to the place of the doorway of hope, then you set your hope on Jesus. Come on, somebody. Then you set your hope on his word. And you set your hope on the voice of the Holy Spirit of how he's leading you and guiding you. And I'm going to tell you something else. Hope is strengthened by your surroundings. Have you ever been around a group of people and seen your personality change? Or let me say it this way. Have you ever, you know, a good friend of mine, Russell Chandler, I talked about him last week, but Russell says some words, and they're not cuss words. I want to qualify that, but, you know, it's always pretty funny because after I've hung around him, you know, there's so many times where I come home and Angela's like, "Oh, you've been with Russell." But by how I talk, you know what I'm talking about? "Oh, all you are perfect little angels." I mean, there's sometimes you get around some people and it changes you. Then you get around some other people and it changes you. Are you following me? If you want to have a dream for your life, and you want that hope come alive in your life, then get away from the naysayers. Then get away from the people always dragging you down. That, you know, I mean, those people is like, "Oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You know, it's all just going to, you know." That was my Christian cuss word for the day. hope is strengthened by your surroundings. I mean, there's this covenant of monks, right? Nobody talks, right? They have this vow of silence. They wear sackcloth. You know what sackcloth is? Sackcloth is not satin. You know, it's not cotton. It's very rough fabric. And so they choose to put on this sackcloth. Listen, their diet, they eat vegetables, bread, and sour milk. To me, that's like cottage cheese. It's chunky milk. You know what they do every day? They go out to this garden, and there's a grave, an empty grave. And they go around, they stand around this grave. And you know who that grave's for? The next one of them that dies. That's their daily. They go out to an empty grave, and they stand around it. And they look at the grave for hours and then go on about their business with their vegetables, bread, and sour milk. I'm going to tell you, if you are a part of something like that long enough, it's going to impact you. And so when you dream and you begin to dream again, listen to me very carefully, you already know who to share that dream with and who not to. You already know who to say, hey, this is what God's doing in my life. And just let me say this. If nobody is ever at all sharing their dream with you, maybe, do I need to turn this way? You might be in that company that's a little bit negative. A little bit negative. But I'm going to tell you, when somebody comes to you with their dream, and they begin to talk about it and express it, and I know in the back of your head you're thinking, you ain't ever going to do that. And that's what sometimes we really want to say. But I'm going to tell you, encourage them. Say, you know what? If God's put it in your heart, then it's obviously possible. Hope is strengthened by your surroundings. And faith and hope, hope and faith are partners. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things seen that we cannot see. I really like how the NIV says it. I included in your notes there. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is thanking God in advance. Faith is the anticipation with a forward view. Faith is full of hope, and hope is full of faith. And I just want to remind you that there was a man. There was a man that didn't think it was possible for his son to be healed, and he went to Jesus in Mark chapter 9 and wanted his boy. The disciples couldn't do it, couldn't deliver him from the demonic spirits that were controlling him. And Jesus was like, you know, good grief, you have little faith. And Jesus addresses the man and he says this. He says, do you believe? And he says, oh, I believe, but help my unbelief. And that's when, in Mark 9:23, Jesus responds, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible to the person that believes. Anything is possible to the person that believes. And so, Father, I got to sum this up really quick. Follow along with me. God's dream for you is bigger than your dream for you. God wants his will in your life more than you want his will in your life. And you know what? That's a good thing. And I believe that as we mature and as we live our lives for the Lord, that it puts us a place of, for lack of a better term right now, synergy with that of the Holy Spirit, that we labor so much over God's will in our life, or God's plan for our life. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll just get lost in Jesus, if your hope will just be pinned on him, that will resolve itself. I believe with all of my heart that God is too big to miss. I mean, if you got a dream for your life and we get so anxious and worried about it, and it doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfect. It doesn't mean that we're not going to fail, but what matters is what you do in the middle of that failure. The Bible tells us that the righteous keep getting back up. They didn't say the righteous don't fall. It says the righteous keep getting up. God's dream for you is bigger than your dream for you. A dream will open up a world of impossibility. You know what? I want to live in a place of impossibility. I mean, don't you? Don't you want to live in a place where you see the impossible become normal? Where you see the impossible become an everyday thing? And we can live there. And that's why I'm so excited about this next series coming up. Because it's going to be just that. I am believing for deaf ears opened. I am believing for blind eyes open. I'm believing for lame people to walk. I'm believing for restored marriages. I'm believing for the worst of addicts set free from their addiction. I'm believing all of those things. And for the people that everybody else has written off. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. A dream inspires change. A dream inspires change. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work with us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think." I mean, you notice that scripture doesn't say, Just a little bit more. God's just going to do a little bit. Whatever your dream is, God, just a little bitty bit. I mean, I don't know how, you know, your education level. I mean, I'm not the, you know, so I got two brain cells and they're fighting to kill each other. That's about how smart I am. And I fully understand the word infinitely. We have no grasp on infinitely. I mean, infinitely is infinite. Infinitely is everything, is forever. And God, listen, God says that he, through you, can accomplish infinitely more than you can even think. He doesn't say just your ability, but he says more than you can dream of, I can do more. And so I want you this morning to dream again. Come on, are you tracking with me? I want you to stand this morning. We had a lot going on, and I know we're just a little bit later than normal, but I want us to just to take a moment because, you know, as I'm processing this 5 years, I got to tell you, if you think it's been all easy, I remember once, I'll never forget it. We hadn't been here very long. And I've never said who this was, and I never will say who it is. Angel even asked me once when I was talking about it. I was like, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to see them any different way. But I was in Albertsons right there on 8th Street, right by her house. And I was right there by the orange juice. I'll never forget it, 5 years ago. And somebody called me and answered the phone. And the person on the line said, "So, I heard you're at Odessa, at First Assembly in Odessa now." And I said, "Yeah." And they weren't discrediting the church at all. But they said, "What are you going to do to that church? Do they really know who you are? And you moved your family there? And you think you're going to have some kind of success there? What were you thinking?" I'm going to tell you, we've been through it. I can give all kinds of examples. I know sometimes of you as when the guy up here and behind this pulpit that everything about life is all wonderful and hunky-dory and whipped cream and unicorns. And it's not. We have faced our troubles and our trials and our ridicule and are naysayers. But I want to tell you this morning, and when I think back to that phone call on that aisle in Albertsons, we're still here. And not only that, but you see, the dream is still alive. I said, the dream is still alive. See, we still have this dream that God turns enough people's lives around and uses his church to do it, that were in multiple services, not just two, but three or four or five a weekend, whatever God would have us to be. You see, it's still the dream to have a feeding center here in this church. It's still a dream to be able to place to minister to homeless people and feed them and have a feeding program for needy families. It's still the dream to have a bus ministry happening out of this church. It's still a dream. It's still a dream to see wheelchairs and crutches and everything like that lined up all along the sides of the walls because the miracles that God's doing in this house. It's still a dream. This is the biggest dream for me, is that when everybody meets somebody from our church, they're like, you go to church? Right? You know the people I'm talking about, right? Really? You go to, what church is that? Who would let you come in? It's not that we would let them come in. We embrace them when they come in. And we want them in this house, this sanctuary. It doesn't matter color or what their background is or what their bank account says. If they're people and they're hurting, what we are in this church is just one beggar telling another where to find bread. That's a dream that's still alive. We haven't seen the end of this thing yet. And I want to tell you right now, you may be in the oil field. You may be the rouseabout, you may be the salesman, you may be the executive, you may be retired, you may be maybe a nurse, a teacher, maybe in between, whatever it is. What you do for a paycheck is not what defines you. What defines you is what God is working on the inside of you. And how you're impacting those around you. What defines you? Are you a godly father? Are you a godly mother? Are you a godly parent? Does anybody hear me in this house? What defines you? Have you obeyed that commission that you're going to share the gospel no matter who you meet? Because you didn't have to happen behind a pulpit. It can happen in a grocery store. It can happen from a person next door. It can happen at a gas station. It can happen getting a pedicure. You have to hear Angela's latest story. There's always one from yesterday. That's who you are. And the enemy wants to bring confusion to you of who you are. Don't let him do that anymore.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.